The Outer Rim, the final frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim, to explore strange new fandoms, to seek out new life and new science fiction, to boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good. Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Outer Rim. This is episode number 41. I'm joined here tonight with my friend Eric. Eric, how are you?
I am doing great. How about you?
I am doing great. I had a day off from work. I saw a movie, relaxed a little bit. Yeah, so it was good.
And?
And I will definitely have to give a thumbs up to 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Excellent. That's good to know.
Yeah, it was something I wanted to see in the theaters. It wasn't like I needed to, you know, to me, a big screen needs to have a big movie. And this one really didn't say, hey, I really want to be on a big screen, but had the time to see it. And I wanted to get a view of that and, you know, add to my flick chart and so forth and that kind of stuff. So I figured, why not take the rainy day and go see a movie?
Awesome. Well, that's good. Yeah. I did not get to go see a new movie today, but I got to see a new trailer.
Oh, I know. That was awesome, wasn't it?
That was insane. I loved that. You know,
I saw the 11-second teaser come out yesterday about trailer coming out today, and I'm like, tomorrow, awesome. And then, you know, I said during GMA, I'm like, okay, I don't normally watch GMA, but you know, I can withstand that for the time being.
Right, right.
And you know, woke up this morning. I had the day off from work, which is even better. So I woke up this morning. I'm catched up on Supergirl or something. I think I was watching, and I was like, wait a minute, it's like 7:10. I hope I didn't miss the trailer. I don't know how early they were going to do it in their show. Mm-hmm. So I stopped my recording, went over to GMA, and it was a commercial, I think. And I came back on. They had a little timer in the bottom of the screen saying 17 minutes till.
Oh, that's cool.
Rogue One. I'm like, that is really nice. Thank you. Now I can go back to my DVR, set a recorder on my phone, so I don't have to watch your show.
You know, I wish they had done that with football when they had the trailer premiere on the Monday night football
thing. Couldn't that because they had no idea when halftime would be. It's not something they can really time.
Oh, see, and people wonder why I think sports really needs to get their act together.
Come on now.
I'm just saying. How hard is it? It's 2016. We have the technology.
It's just the way they do timing in football. You can't do that. If it was soccer, yeah, they could do it then.
They spend so much time not playing, like in between plays. You think they would be able to massage the timing out in such a way that like everything would add up the right way.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
I know. But yeah, so got to see, you know, I kind of panicked. Did you see it live on GMA when you saw it, or did you see it on the internet?
I saw it on the internet. We should probably save some of this for random chatter, actually. I know we're going to talk about this quite extensively on Echo Base this next coming week.
Right, right.
Obviously. I mean,
well, I'll just say one more thing quickly. Because when they first started showing it, they had it, I guess, playing on a big screen in Times Square. And the first shot they showed of the trailer on GMA was a location shot from somebody in Times Square shooting at the big screen. I'm like, really? That's the way I have to see this trailer? Somebody filming it off of a big screen on? Oh, my God. But thankfully, it was just the first couple of seconds, and it went to just live feed.
So basically, the first experience with the trailer was a bootleg.
Pretty much.
An official bootleg.
It was like some guy sitting in a theater filming under his coat, you know?
Oh, that is ridiculous.
But they quickly went to the regular video and got to watch it all its glory, and I've seen it 18 million times since then, I think, so.
Yeah, that's funny. So a couple of quick updates.
Okay.
I'm glad that we don't have to do this too often on the show, but last week, the New Mutants casting that we were talking about with who was it? Magic and Wolfsbane. Turns out that was debunked by Fox. It was not intended as an April Fool's joke. It was something that was actually reported. It was false. And so there you go. Also, a few weeks back, we talked about Universal Studios getting a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory building that was going to be basically kind of a restaurant with these really outlandish desserts, and you can make your own chocolates and make your own candy and things like that. And it looked kind of steampunkish, and we're like, well, that's not really very Willy Wonka-ish, but okay. I mean, it still looked cool. The concept art looked incredible. Well, we found out from an inside source that the chocolate factory is not affiliated with Willy Wonka.
Oh.
It is okay. A chocolate factory, but it is not the, quote, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Well.
Which is fine. I mean, it doesn't make any of the pictures or anything look less interesting. I mean, it still looks incredible.
Well, it does make me wonder why they're spending so much effort on making this chocolate factory when it's not associated with, you know, Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. I mean, otherwise it'd just be another, you know, restaurant, right? I mean,
you know what? I would rather go in and make my own chocolates and things like that, though, than to go in and get a bunch of, you know, rows upon rows of boxes of Gobstoppers and things that you can get like down at your gas station or something.
That's true. That's true.
They've already kind of franchised that out a little bit, so this could be quite a bit better.
It could be. It could be. We'll have to wait and see when they build it. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to throw those. I don't know that they're necessarily retractions, but
corrections, edits,
corrections, updates. Yeah, we don't put them on page 4 here at the Outer Rim. We start the show with them
right up front. When Eric's wrong, we can write out and say it.
Journalistic integrity. Wait, what?
Okay, no news for this week. Nothing.
All right.
Somebody called me soft on Twitter today.
I saw that.
I got to figure out what that was in relation to.
I saw that.
Is that my soft, sensitive side that, you know, I'm a nice, caring guy? Is that what that was about?
I don't know. I decided not to even make any jokes about it because I wasn't sure how PG I was going to be able to keep it. So
deep end pretty quick.
Yeah, this is a family show.
It wasn't going to go there. So yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
So let's get right into the news. Big news.
Yes.
Huge news. Well, actually, small news, actually, to tell you the truth.
No, wait a minute.
Well, it was a big, big drop.
Are we talking about the same news?
Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Well, yeah, big
plummeted.
Well,
for the second weekend,
it dipped.
Huh?
It dipped.
It dipped.
It dipped a little. Yeah.
This was like the first drop on the cyclone.
In order to drop that far, you have to be that high off the ground in the first place. It's only to dip this much because it did so radically incredible on the first weekend.
That's true. And, you know, that can only happen that way. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But it was
all in how you spin it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Hollywood execs out there listening to the show, I'm willing to relocate. Just saying.
I think they're pretty good at spinning their own stuff normally because they usually do and make a trailer to make it look totally different than it really is. And I'll go see that. And what movie am I watching?
Yeah, Mike here in the chat room is trying to help you out. 63% drop off. Actually, it was a 68% based on what I've read. 68% drop off in the second weekend from the first weekend, which, depending on what you read, I've heard that it's second only to X-Men Origins Wolverine, which dropped 70%. This is just in the context of superhero films.
Right.
But then I read somewhere else that it tied X-Men Origins Wolverine and that there was a different one that was 70%. But
okay.
Anyway, it ranks up there as like one of the biggest drops for superhero movies ever in its second weekend.
And, you know, not to say it's a bad movie, of course. I mean, you know, it's done really, really well.
Oh, there are people who would.
Well, yeah.
And have been saying as vocally as they possibly can. You know, here's what fascinates me about this movie. It's so weird that people are so worked up about whether this movie is genius or whether it's an atrocity. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, you know, I've seen a lot of bad movies that I don't get this worked up over. I've seen a lot of good movies I don't get this worked up over. I'm like, okay, well, hey, you like it or you don't like it. Whatever. Okay. But man, it's like friendships are being destroyed online as a result of whether you like this movie or not. It's like politics all of a sudden.
Right. Exactly. It's really kind of funny when you come right down to it. It's surprising. I mean, there were some good parts in the movie, some bad parts in the movie. I mean, not everybody's going to like the entire movie or everything it stands for, but Boy, you know, it's really polarizing when you come right down to it.
You know, if you want to get our thoughts on the film, if you listen to this most recent episode of Flick Fights, which is not part of the
random... Episode 102, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 102. It's not part of the Random Chatter Network, but you can find it in iTunes, and you can head over to flickchart.com. I think if you go to flickchart.com/blog, I believe it's posted there. But
you can find it there, yeah.
Yeah, you can hear our thoughts on it, but... Well, and I posted a review to the Random Chatter website, too, which, Lou, I encourage you to do that if you get around to it.
Yeah, I certainly will try.
And maybe for 10 Cloverfield Lane as well.
Yeah, I should do that. I should put together a 10 Cloverfield Lane review while my thoughts are still fresh on that.
Yeah.
Because that was a very well-done movie. I mean, it was a sequel-esque kind of maybe to the side of Cloverfield.
Okay.
You know, it takes place in the same universe, I guess, when you come right down to it, but... you don't have to see the other one to appreciate Jim Cloverfield Lane.
Now, don't give me any spoilers.
I won't.
And don't even hint too much about the scale of whatever connection or plot twist there may be. But if you have seen Cloverfield, will that add to your enjoyment of this film at all? Or is it not really that relevant? Your hesitation speaks volumes.
It's not really that relevant, I think. I mean, it will make some of the stuff that happens at the very end make more sense to you.
Okay.
You know, it'll like, oh, okay. Because people that haven't seen it are kind of like, really? That's what this was all about? You know, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's enough. That may already even be too much.
Okay. I won't say any more. But it was good. I thought the acting was excellent in the movie. The characterizations from the characters they had on screen were just really spot on. It kept you guessing, it kept you wondering and thinking and, switching your allegiances between characters. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, and it provided a good way for you to distract the show from the next bullet points in the show notes here regarding Batman versus Superman.
That's true. It did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I still have the show notes up so I can still read what's coming next here, because even though there was almost a 70% drop off from week one to week two, let's look at the other statistics.
Okay. Certainly.
For Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Entertain me.
Yes. Okay. So far it has made over $700 million global.
Okay.
Which means it has passed Man of Steel, which brought in $668 million. So right off the bat, it is a sequel that did better than its predecessor.
Okay, but I mean, this is a movie that should do...
I'm not done.
Okay.
I'm not done.
I was going to just kind of just discuss that bullet point with you, but
But wait, there's more. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
I got to keep the momentum going on this one.
Okay.
It also surpassed another superhero movie, Iron Man, arguably the best of any of the Iron Man films, the very first one, at $585 million. Globally, and this is $700 million, so it's not like it's a few million more. No, it's a solid $115 million more than the first Iron Man. But wait, there's more.
Oh, okay, keep going. Yep, keep going.
It beat Ant-Man, which globally had $519 million. It beat Thor at $449 million. It beat Captain America: The First Avenger at $370 million. Not quite doubling Captain America. Now, you could say, okay, Captain America, it's very, you know, it's America, it's United States, it's, you know, the World War II. It's not going to do as well globally. And that's a fair point.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, when you know, people are comparing it to the Marvel films and stuff, here's a selection of very well-regarded Marvel films that it blew past.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, Iron Man came out in what year? 2008. So, you know, ticket prices have gone up a bit since then. Not a huge amount, but enough to make a difference.
I don't know that it would be enough to break this statistic, though.
No, but you know, against Man of Steel, you think it should do double what Man of Steel did, because that was
double.
Only one superhero. This is Batman and Superman together. Two big power. This should be a huge draw.
Lou, That is not the best justification I've ever heard you have before.
I thought that was very clever, though. I thought that was a good one.
Clever, but definitely grasping at straws.
Who knew of Ant-Man before it came out? I mean, besides maybe some diehard Khan fans, I mean, I didn't really know who he, I knew who he was, but I didn't really know much about him.
Okay.
And I know more than I think some of the average moviegoers would know about Ant-Man.
Okay.
And yet,
fair
that
enough.
Still did $519 million.
That's true.
So, you know, I mean, Batman, Superman, those are two pretty well-known names. I mean, you can't really mention Batman or Superman.
You cannot say that a $700 million global box office in the first, we're talking the first week plus the second weekend. So like the first week and a half, you cannot call that a failure.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not calling it a failure. No, all right. Not at all. But, you know.
I'm just saying.
We'll see what it does in the third week, too.
Next movie draft, we have to do global results instead of.
I don't think so. I think we should stay with domestic. because not everything is going to get the same kind of reaction globally as a big movie like this will.
I know.
So
let's look at this then. I mean, I know this is more of a random chatter thing we would normally be doing here, but since we're on this as a news topic, is this a success?
The movie? Oh, I think by all means, yeah, it's a success. I mean, I'm just trying to stab it down because it's on your.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think number wise, I mean, it's doing really well. Its budget was $260 million or $250 million, so it's surpassed that domestically. Yeah, I think you call this a success.
Okay. Now, to be fair, its reported budget for production is $250 million. And Marvel's films have been about $150 million. So it is also more expensive than the Marvel films.
Well, again, they had two big-name superheroes they had to pay for.
Well.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No. My understanding is that Batman's agent normally holds out for
more money,
but yeah. I think they said it had to make $1 billion overall in order to make a profit, which it's on track to make in its overall theatrical run. So I think they'll be okay. But so it is financially for it to be a success, it does have to make milestones past many of the Marvel films. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And you know, as far as the critics, a lot of people are saying the drop off in the second week and even like in the first day or two, because there's a big drop from Friday into Saturday and Saturday into Sunday, were a result of all the bad critic reviews. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder how much of that is correct. I know word of mouth gets out a lot faster now, but the critics, man, they tore this film apart. And I don't think there were problems with this film. Don't get me wrong. We talk about this in the Flick Chart, Flick Fights episode, but I don't think the problems were that damning.
No.
They just weren't that bad, not for the level of vitriol that we saw from a lot of the critics. So I have to imagine that did affect the box office results to some extent. And then when you look at the Star Wars prequels, some of the biggest box office results in recent history, and they were panned by critics and audiences alike. And yet brought in just crazy numbers at the box office. So, you know, is it box office that makes something a success, or is it the reception from the audience? And I think that you could argue either way.
Yeah. I mean, we did talk about this one time in Random Chatter itself too. And I think both arguments are valid, but at the same time, you know, it's gotta be a financial success to be able to make more movies like that if you enjoyed it. And it's got to be a hit with the fans to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's both. I mean, really, when you think about it, you can't make the movie too expensive to make and then not make your money back and expect to do another one.
Right.
And yet you've got to have a good, strong story and a good, strong showing of fans to be able to say, yeah, let's do another one.
Yeah. And Carrie in the chat room is pointing out that the original Star Wars, A New Hope, back in 1977, was considered a bomb by a lot of the critics.
Right.
Now, granted, the audience reception back then was a lot more positive, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this, you know, as to whether it's a success or not as a film is going to depend on the individual viewers. I'm still like my mind is blown at the arguing about this film online, like the passion with which people either love or hate this film. This is not the first superhero film that's ever been considered mediocre or considered bad. And I don't remember anybody complaining to this level about a lot of the other comic book bombs. You know, people have been talking recently about Ben Affleck's Daredevil, both because Ben Affleck is in Batman and because Daredevil is successful on Netflix now. People have talked about Elektra for similar reasons.
That makes me wonder too, but even if a movie doesn't do well, both financially and critically, they still get something similar. Like I'm thinking Daredevil and then followed by Elektra. It's like they wouldn't have made Elektra without first making Daredevil, but didn't do real well. Why did they go ahead with Elektra? You know, it's like, wow, it's surprising.
Yeah. I mean, it must've brought some money in.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it, too, is they have to continue using the characters in order to hold on to the rights.
Oh, true.
So that's
true, too.
There's that, too. And it's not like Elektra had a big budget. So, but I don't know. This is just, it's confusing to me the rift, the dichotomy in the opinions on this. Just it seems strange to me. Even I like, you know, the Spider-Man films. There were a lot of people who really liked the Spider-Man films who didn't like the Spider-Man films, whether it be the Sam Raimi ones or the more recent ones with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have this kind of fighting online about it.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's just because, I don't know, DC hasn't had the track record that Marvel has. There was already some, you know, hatred over the last Superman movie. And how they didn't have, you know, the Superman movie before that wasn't even very good, and then changing it again. So I think all these things led to people being very, I don't know, you know, not considering this to be a success even before it came out. You know, there was a lot of anticipation of a bad showing, and then you're going to make it a bad showing because you're going to talk about it, you know. So,
well, and you know, now that I think about it, what else has Zack Snyder done? He's done Man of Steel, which, not to this extent, but it had a similar sort of a love-hate thing with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
He did The Watchmen, which also had a lot of people who loved it and a lot of people who hated it.
True.
I don't know.
They had that, you know, rabid fan following that are going to be all over them for having things slightly different than what, you know, they expected or what they wanted. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. If nothing else, we're going to get a really good Batman film in the future.
True.
That's the way I look at it.
True.
Did Snyder do 300? Mike in the chat room saying he did.
I want to say yes, didn't he?
Yeah, see, I keep associating 300 with Sin City as if they're kind of like from the same maker. And they are, because they were both Frank Miller, but I think it was Robert Rodriguez who did... Yeah,
I'm looking at IMDb here.
We need to just get Mike on the show with this. Dawn of the Dead, Sucker Punch. I liked Sucker Punch.
Yep.
But again, a lot of people didn't. Sucker Punch was not a good movie. I have to concede that. But Sin City is Robert Rodriguez. And Zack Snyder did 300. I forgot all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, I mean, 300 was, for the most part, pretty well received.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it did real, you know, huge numbers at the box office, but...
I think it did okay.
Did it?
I don't know. It's been a while. I have to look it up. Anyway, we should probably move on to the other...
Yeah.
Other news points. Someone asked in the chat room whether or not they just popped in if we discussed the Rogue One trailer. We're going to talk a little bit more about it once we start the Random Chatter show here in about a half hour. And we're going to be covering it extensively on Echo Base. So there you go. Anyway, what else do we have in the news?
Let's see. Well, we talked about Spider-Man for a second here. And I guess Sony has registered some new domain names for upcoming Spider-Man projects, maybe we'll say. I don't know how many of these kind of relate, though. Do you? I've got four listed here. Spider-Man Homecoming Movie.com. Spider-Man Coming of Age Movie.com. Spider-Man Greatness Awaits. That sounds like a PlayStation thing coming because they got that Greatness Awaits thing on their marketing, don't they? On PlayStation stuff, I thought.
I don't know. That's a good point.
And then Spider-Man Suspended. That could be telling.
So from what I'm taking from these, he's in high school. He goes to the homecoming dance. He gets suspended. And he grows up a little bit. I mean, these are horrible. If these are actual movie titles, these are horrible.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Why would you register these? I just don't get that.
Spider-Man,
I mean, you're not
going to
make a movie into Spider-Man Homecoming. I mean, you're not going to make a coming of age, you know, unless it's just that's the style of movie. It's a coming of age movie. But
okay, but
really?
You also wouldn't register Spider-Man really, really awesome. I mean, you don't use descriptors. You register things that are part of the title. And I can see it being a coming of age movie, and that's great. But you don't call it Spider-Man Coming of Age.
No.
That's just dumb.
And I don't even see these being like defensive domain registrations either. You know, sometimes you want to make sure people don't get something bad that you could use.
Yeah, I don't think they were on the verge of losing Spider-Man Homecoming to
I don't think so.
Some squatter out there. Yeah.
Why is Spider-Man Suspended?
Well, you know, a lot of late nights, didn't turn his homework in.
Maybe. That's just bizarre.
Maybe the whole movie is just him sitting in like a detention room at school. In-house suspension, you know, being forced to do his homework.
Was he a sneak out and fight crime?
No. It's just him at his desk.
Oh, I thought maybe he sneaks out. Okay, well.
I've seen worse.
Yep.
I've seen worse superhero movies.
Yeah. let's see. Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming back.
Yes. Listen, this is... I don't know how well it's going to succeed with this generation, but to me, this is along the lines of hearing that they're in the process of making a Deadpool movie. This is the equivalent of hearing that someone finally built a time machine, went back in time, and prevented Michael Bay from making any Transformers movies. This is the holy grail. For me, for many reasons.
Awesome.
Can I take this one? Are you a big MST fan?
You certainly can. I mean, I'm a fan of the Science Theater 3000, but I am not a rabid fan as you apparently are.
How many DVDs do you own? And when I say how many DVDs you own, I mean both the actual purchased ones from Rhino and the bootlegged ones that you cannot get.
I don't own any, to tell you the truth. I know. It's a shame, isn't it?
I'll hook you up, man.
Okay, cool.
I still have a ton of holes in my collection, but and a shout out to Brian Fagan, an old friend of mine who helped me I didn't know him when I first got into MST, so I can't credit him with helping me discover it. Though I can with Babylon 5, so I owe him for that one. But anyway, Brian also a big MST fan, and we have shared MST content over the years, so I doubt he's listening, but just in case. Okay. Cool. So anyway, so here's the scoop. There has been a Kickstarter campaign going on for a while now, trying to get 3000 back. And Riff Tracks, so the people who used to do MST, if you don't know, there were several different cast and crew members over the years. After the show ended, they split off into two groups, basically. Joel and some of the cast members went and did something called Cinematic Titanic, where they would go and riff on movies live in the theaters. I haven't even explained what MST is. I'll come back to that in a second. And then Mike Nelson and a couple of other guys went and did Riff Tracks. So, if you don't know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 was on the Comedy Channel, which later became Comedy Central. And it was late at night, I think on Saturdays, and it would be 2 hours. It would be, the premise was ridiculous. The premise was that these two mad scientists took this janitor, put him on a satellite that they dubbed the Satellite of Love, and forced him to watch really, 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 really bad movies as a psychological experiment. So Joel, this janitor, decided that, you know, he life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So he built himself two robot friends and they sit and watch the movies together. So that's kind of the premise, but the show's not really about that. The show is just an excuse to sit and watch movies and make fun of them. So you have these old movies. Some are in the public domain, some they licensed out. And there's a silhouette of movie theater seats down at the bottom with Joel and the two robots. And later Joel escaped the satellite and Mike Nelson became the new host. And as they're watching these really bad movies, they're heckling the movie. They're inserting their own jokes and they're riffing on the films. Some of the episodes were absolutely incredible. So there's a huge cult following in all this. So back to today, the Kickstarter was incredibly successful. I think it beat out Veronica Mars Kickstarter as being like one of the fastest to bring in like a crazy amount of money.
Wow.
Overnight. That's or impressive. Something. I don't know. Yeah, it's done really well. And so they're doing at least one reunion show where the guys from both Cinematic Titanic and Riff Trax are all coming back together, and they're going to do like a live event. It's going to be on June 28th. It's going to be up in Minneapolis where they're kind of headquartered out of, but it's going to be simulcast in theaters all over the country. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to have, Mike Nelson, Kevin Murphy, Bill Corbett. Those are the three guys from Riff Trax. Mike Nelson was the main host who filled in after Joel left. Kevin Murphy, I think, did Tom Servo, and Bill Corbett did Crow. It's also going to have Joel Hodgson, Trace Beaulieu. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, who was the original mad scientist, Dr. Forrester, and also the original Crow T robot. Frank Conniff, who was Frank, Mary Jo Pell, Bridget Nelson, and Jonah Ray, who's going to be the new host of the upcoming reboot, which I didn't mention. They're rebooting it.
That.
Yes, there's actually going to be a new series for Mystery Science Theater 3000. I think Joel is going to be producing it, but it is going to be a new janitor, a new lab rat, if you will, played by Jonah Ray, best known as one of the guys from The Nerdist. The new mad scientist is going to be Dr. Forrester's daughter, played by Felicia Day.
Nice.
Yes. Best known for The Guild, Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog, various other things. A strong member of geek royalty, if you will. She's going to be the new mad scientist, and filling in as her henchman is going to be Patton Oswalt.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So, I cannot begin to describe for you how much I am looking forward to this. And just the concept in general still is fascinating to me. In fact, we're going to be doing our own commentaries and possibly some riff style things coming up here pretty soon for Random Chatter. We're going to do the first one for The Force Awakens, but I think we might actually delve into purposely doing bad movies.
Yeah.
And so
it's more fun to make fun of the easy ones first, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to make fun of The Force Awakens.
No,
I think that'll be a true commentary, and we'll do some of those too. But I think, you know, going back into the early days of Random Chatter and Movie Chatter, and when we were doing Movie Survival Guide as well, there were so many movies. Some of the best episodes were the ones that we did with really, really bad films. My favorites include Ultraviolet, Deuce Bigelow 2, European Gigolo.
Because the first one wasn't bad enough.
I never saw the first one.
I didn't see either of them.
We saw the second one because that was the big opening movie that weekend, and we went every weekend to see something. So,
wow,
yeah. But Brian Wood was on for both of those with me. Yeah, we'll have to get him back on as a guest sometime too. But so I love this whole concept. In fact, I might even set us up as an affiliate for Riff Tracks, which is an awesome website, RIFFTRAX.com. The idea there is, whereas Mystery Science Theater 3000 had, for licensing reasons, had to go with films that were either in the public domain or really old and very cheap to get, Riff Tracks got around it by releasing MP3 files that mm-hmm. you can play along with an actual movie. So you rent something from Redbox, you watch it on Netflix, you own the DVD, whatever it is, and you know, you throw some headphones on your iPhone and you play the commentary track along with while you're watching the film. And so you're getting things like Star Wars and, you know, Inception and Mad Max Fury Road and like all the big name films. So in fact, Riff Tracks has done the entire Star Wars saga, including the Star Wars Holiday Special, which you can actually purchase and download, like the actual video Holiday Special. They have some things for which they do have the ability to share the video out for it.
Cool.
I feel like I'm shilling now for Riff Tracks.
Yeah, you are kind of.
Yeah, I should stop. This is a new show.
Hey, it's good to talk about stuff we're passionate about, though. I mean, you know, that was something that I got into a little bit. I enjoyed watching them, but I never went out of my way to really find them and stuff. So yeah. I'll have to immerse myself now if you only borrow some DVDs. So.
Oh, good times. Sitting on the couch way past when I was supposed to be in bed, because I was still in high school then, eating Ben and Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, or Frusion Gladja ice cream, which was still on the market back then.
God bless you.
Yes. Oh, that was some of the best ice cream. I am an ice cream connoisseur. I am. That is my thing.
Wow. Ice okay.
cream. Yep. Just straight vanilla. Not all of these weird flavory things, because if you're truly going to compare one brand to another, you have to go with the baseline. I mean, I enjoy other flavors.
Cut out there for a second. You said straight vanilla.
I like other flavors, but when you are comparing two flavors, two different brands,
off about you.
When you're comparing two different brands, you have to go with the baseline first. They have to be able to make a good vanilla before they can move on to things like chocolate chip cookie dough or cookies and cream, or you know,
see,
whatever
I'm
else they're going to do.
Chocolate guy, though. I mean, you know,
okay, that's fair.
Yeah, see,
okay.
See, Carrie and Chipper's backing me here. Chocolate. See, that's the way it should be.
I like chocolate. I like chocolate. I'm just saying.
We are really turning the other room into random chatter tonight, aren't we?
It's like wine tasting. You have to. There's a certain baseline that you have to go with when you're comparing ice creams.
Oh boy! Well, let's move on to our next story here.
Yeah, we had other news, didn't we?
We have just a little bit, not much, just a little bit. Freeform, which used to be ABC Family,
yeah,
has greenlit Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. This is from Variety. They've get straight to series of this. We're not even going to do a pilot. We're going straight to series, and it's described as a superhero love story. That kind of worries me.
Well, Freeform does have a younger demographic.
Okay.
I get the impression it's like CW Junior.
Okay.
Which means it's like ABC Junior Junior.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, boy. I mean, Marvel hasn't made too many bad steps lately, so maybe this will be okay, but I don't see it. I mean, I don't even mind watching stuff on, you know, ABC Family or any kind of kids networks. I mean, you know, we watch Star Wars Rebels and, you know, some other stuff. Obviously, sure. It's meant for kids, but boy, I hope this doesn't pull a, I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
I mean, if you want to do kind of the young adult love story sort of thing, I guess Cloak and Dagger are just as good characters to choose as anyone else. I mean, they've always been a team. They've always been a pair.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about, you know, Batman sometimes having a thing for Catwoman, sometimes having a thing for Talia al Ghul, sometimes having a thing for, you know, whoever. So I guess this makes sense. And it's not you know, they're not A-list characters that they have to reserve for some other really super important thing. I mean, I hate to say that they're kind of throwaway characters, but yeah, in the grand scheme of things,
they're never going to be an important part of something else.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously, you got to start kids out younger and get them into your other stuff. But, you know, this is completely
opposite. That's what the drug dealers say.
What's that?
I said, that's what the drug dealers say. Kids, you got to start them young and get them into the other stuff.
Is this where they give it to you free to make you buy it on Netflix later?
Yes. Yeah, like the new Star Trek series that, which
is that still going that way? I haven't heard any news about that in a long time.
I haven't in a while, no, but yeah, it looks like it's still going that way. That's ridiculous.
God, that sounds horrible. I mean, I love Star Trek, but to get the first one free and then pay for the rest of it on CBS, pay online subscription thing.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it just sounds horrible. Well, wait and see, I guess.
I mean, like, if you're doing that, just give me the DVD box set, because at least I'm paying for it and then I own it. If you're expecting me to pay basically for one show.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I know their argument is, oh, no, you're getting the entire CBS lineup. Well, I've already got the entire CBS lineup, so that doesn't help me. So I really am paying for just one show. So
right.
If I'm paying for one show anyway, just give me the show. Give me the right box set or like streaming download codes for iTunes or something. I mean, I'll pay for it. That's fine. I mean, when it comes out on DVD, I'm going to end up buying the box set anyway. So, you know, whatever. But yeah. I mean, call it what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's just, boy, bad decision.
Yeah. Well, speaking of bad decisions, we should get over to our What Were They Thinking segment.
Yeah. What do we got there?
Well, we have a couple of things.
Entertain me.
I'll try. This one isn't really Hollywood related. It's more of a tech thing. But apparently, the TSA wanted a truly random system to be able to pull people out of line for screenings.
Okay.
So, and of course, they use iPads and tablets and stuff because it's more convenient. They're out there, you know, at the lines at the airport. They need something portable. So they paid a developer for a random number generator for the iPad.
Oh, okay.
They paid this developer. There are some differing reports. The Freedom of Information Act makes this available, and there's some confusion as to whether it was just this first price or whether it was a collection of that price plus these other tickets that are seemingly tied to it. But at a minimum, the TSA paid $336,413.59.
Wow.
$336,000
for a random number generator.
For that thing that I remember writing in the first semester of my AP computer science class in high school. For free.
Wow.
Now, there are a collection of receipts that are a little vague that indicate that they may have actually paid up to $1.4 million.
It's unclear.
I kid you not.
Now, is this one of those things like they paid, you know, $65,000 for the toilet seat on the aircraft carrier? I mean,
I don't know.
How do you do? I hope they got more than that. I hope they lumped a bunch of other things in there they wanted to get, you know, paid for out of budget or whatever, and just built this up to be more expensive.
It literally seems to be there's an iPad screen. And they tap it every time a person comes in, and there's an arrow that flashes when they're supposed to pull someone out of line. That's it.
Now, does it work with the iWatch or the Apple Watch? So if it, you know, gets written, it beeps and your phone, your watch will vibrate. So that's the guy.
My understanding is that's a $250,000 upgrade.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
And on top of it, they probably have to download the app and pay $299 for it on every iPad.
Oh, that would be funny. I think that we should go give the app a bad rating.
Yeah, can anybody download the app? Can I get the
rating? No. I'm sure it's there's a whole world of like proprietary closed system apps out there.
Yeah. That is really interesting.
Yeah,
I
that's kind of messed
aback
up
by that.
So back to the Hollywood side of things, though. Do you watch Big Bang Theory?
I do.
Okay, good. Okay, you've re-earned some of your geek cred there from not having any MST videos.
Discs. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's okay. Well, there was that transition from VHS to DVD. You know, that time period, it didn't go all that well. It's okay. We forgive you.
Thanks.
But Jim Parsons, the guy that played Sheldon on Big Bang Theory, has, this is a quote from Gizmodo's article, has signed on to star and produce Manwich, a comedy about an adult male with magical powers who is not a warlock, a mage, a conjurer, or a sorcerer, but is instead a Manwich.
Manwich?
Manwich. And of course, on the article, they have these cans of like Manwich sauce, you know, like Sloppy Joe.
Oh my God, that is hysterical.
Yeah, it's man dash witch, W-I-T-C-H. But when you say it out loud, Manwich. Yeah, which according to Hollywood Reporter, the story tells of a school teacher, played by Parsons, who abruptly discovers he's got witch-like powers. A coven of real witches takes him in, promptly sending him to witch school, where he is the lone adult surrounded by little girl witches in training.
I see this being hysterically funny to watch, but not for very long.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
this is okay. A Saturday Night Live sketch.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Manwich. I just can't get over the name. Oh my goodness. I almost spit my water on my computer screen when you read that.
Yeah, Manwich. Can you imagine the reviews? Every reviewer is going to have some.
He signed up to not only star in it, but to produce it.
Yeah.
So he's got to think, yeah, this is a good idea. This is one of those things where every time I hear something that's just a really bad idea, I'm like, okay. Somebody had to go, okay, this is my plan, so I'm going to do. They had to present the idea to somebody else. And the other person had to go, yes.
They had to present it to someone else and convince that person to invest money in it.
It's like, oh.
So the real winner here is Manwich.
Yeah. They ought to get a bump in marketing out of this.
Can you imagine if they put Jim Parsons on the front of the cans? I'm sure they will.
Oh, my God.
I don't get it. Every reviewer, there should be a contest for the film critics to see who can title their review with the worst pun. Because you know it's coming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's our What Were They Thinking goodness. Segment for the week.
The TV show that sticks to your ribs. Oh, gosh. Wow, that is...
Yeah.
That is one of our better ones, I think. For our we need to have a What Were They Thinking Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame, maybe.
We do. Hosted by Kanye.
Kind of rank them. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, for our lightning round, I've only got two things this week. First of all, the Associated Press guide no longer requires internet to be capitalized. Which a lot of people are like, oh, finally. To me, it kind of bugs me because you can have an internet as opposed to an intranet. So internet can be a generic term as well. So when we are referring to the internet that we all use, it is a specific version of an internet that we have dubbed the internet. Mm-hmm. And thus it should be capitalized. It's a proper noun. But apparently now it's so ubiquitous that they're just going to lowercase it, and that bugs me, but I understand that I'm just, you know, I'm OCD, and I have to get over it, and that's fine. The other thing in the lightning round, Simon Pegg, whom I think we all know, Shaun of the Dead, played Scotty in the Star Trek films, has been cast as Ogden Morrow in Ready Player One.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
I did not either, but I think he'd be good at it. I think it would work. He's joining Ty Sheridan as Wade and Ben Mendelsohn as Sorrento. So should be pretty good.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, when's that due now? 2017?
I try not to look. because I'm going to cry. Because A, it's not soon, and B, it'll get delayed. Again.
Yeah, probably.
So, Lou, what is at the top of the box office results this week?
Oh, here we go.
You started it.
Box office results for last weekend. We have Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice at number one again for a second week in a row.
Wow.
Bringing a paltry $52 million.
Paltry. Yeah. Not many movies make that in their opening weekend.
No, some
don't.
Oh,
wait. This is weekend number two.
Yes, some don't. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. So it's total right now, or at the time we put this in, it was 261. I think it's up 270 right now. So it's actually still climbing from there. Zootopia is in number two in its fifth week. It made $20 million for a total of 275.
Good.
A Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 made $11 million this week. God Is Not Dead, the main competition for Batman v Superman, which it really isn't any competition.
Wait. God's Not Dead 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I leave off the 2?
The 2. There's apparently a first one.
I didn't realize that was the first one.
God's Not Deader.
Yeah. God's even still less not dead, than it was before. That made $8 million in its first week, and Miracles from Heaven. Boy, a lot of religious movies this week, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I would personally choose the one with Jennifer Garner.
That's Miracles from Heaven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your top five. We'll see what happens this week. And what's coming up this week?
Well, fortunately, after kind of a lackluster weekend this past weekend when it comes to new films, we have several, and of the five I'm about to list, I think four of the five of them were on our movie draft.
Okay, cool.
If I do well, I will have number two.
Oh.
So we have The Boss, starring Melissa McCarthy.
Yep.
Currently 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. Hardcore Henry.
Yes.
The first-person action film, which looks awesome. 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I wouldn't say awesome, but okay.
It looks awesome.
I'm going to make sure I bring some Advil with me.
Dramamine.
Yeah.
Everybody Wants Some, which, of course, was not on our movie draft and has a 91%, so go figure.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of course. Demolition, which has a 53%.
And I own that one.
I forget who's in that one off the top of my head.
Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, is in it.
Oh, that's right. Okay. And Mr. Right, which I think I own that one. That one's at 43%. That's the one. Is that the one with
here? You've got yes, you do. Yeah, you're gonna have 1, 2, 3 movies in the works.
Yeah. Yeah. Then basically nothing.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season. I won't get into it.
Yeah, we'll see that for our next show. Yeah.
Yeah. DVD, you know, it's it kind of stinks because as we ramp up in the theaters, the quality of the DVD releases generally starts to dip. You get a couple of really big weeks where you get some good DVD releases, but for the most part, you know, it's the opposite of the winter months where around the holidays, you'll get a couple of really good films, but the rest of the time there's nothing going on. But on the other hand, you're getting all of the summer releases on DVD. So it's kind of an either or situation. We're starting to come upon the time where DVD market's going to be a little bit dry for a while. Of course, we just had Star Wars The Force Awakens come out. And we must have missed The Expanse season one coming out on DVD because I got a notification that it's available on Netflix now.
Really?
Not on streaming, I don't think, but just, you know, the discs. I still get the discs from Netflix.
Yeah, I do too, actually, but I didn't realize it was out.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have not yet seen The Expanse, now's a great time to pick it up, and we really should get back on the crash couch.
Yeah, we should. I have actually held off watching anymore because I was kind of taking Chris's approach and not wanting to get too far ahead or talking about stuff I hadn't seen yet.
Well, I fell behind because with all the stuff going on with the Forcecast Network, I never got around to finishing up the audio intro.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
I stay on me about that.
I will, and we'll get back on that and start doing those episodes. I'll have to buy the DVDs now.
Yeah, excellent series. I mean, just phenomenal. But, you know, we've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again. But
hopefully there'll be some extra content in the disc, too. That's why it'd be nice to buy them instead of getting them from Netflix.
You know, that's a really good point. Why don't you let me know I'm sure it's already on Amazon.
I buy them on iTunes, so I actually own the digital downloads.
But yeah, I do too.
And on the discs, I would love to do that.
There were little featurettes after each of the episodes in iTunes where they talked about the making of it a little bit.
Not a lot of detail, though.
But I wonder, like, oh my gosh, if there's audio commentary on the DVDs?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so on that. If you find out before I do, let me know. Anyway, so there's basically nothing coming out this week on DVD. Next week, April 19th, The Revenant is going to come out. That was one of the big Oscar nominations. What's his face? Leonardo DiCaprio. Television. The day before that, on the 18th, 12 Monkeys returns. But otherwise, I don't think there's anything new really coming out on TV. You guys know they filmed The Expanse in Toronto, right? Yes, Joel, I do. You did mention that before. We're still waiting for you to get us our backstage passes there, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the deal, man? I'm just saying, you know, we're good guys. We're willing to travel to Toronto. It's a nice place.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in a long time.
It's pretty cool. Definitely.
Yeah. We can fake our way as Canadians. We can fake our way as Canadians, eh?
Eh?
Yeah. Put on our toques, get some 2-4.
That sounded very convincing.
Oh, yeah. We're from Canada, don't you know? My family tells me I'm not allowed to call it Canada. Anyway.
Well, as one of my bosses used to say, because he worked for Air Canada for a while, he was like, yeah, they have two seasons. They have winter and rough sledding.
Oh, that sounds about right.
And just to, before we move on too far here, Amazon shows the disc having special features of trailer and deleted scenes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
That's all it says.
What about the Blu-ray?
That is the Blu-ray.
That is the Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? If you don't already have it, it's still worth getting. I mean, you know, we sound disappointed because we were hoping
I want more.
But people out there who were listening to our disappointment about this need to keep in mind, we're saying this after having already paid for the full season on streaming through iTunes, and we were willing to pay for it again to get bonus content. That's how good this season is. So don't take our disappointment about the lack of extras on the DVD as an indication you shouldn't get it. You should totally go get these or get it on iTunes. I mean, that's just as good. Actually, the bonus content there might be better, but either way, you need to watch the series. It's freaking incredible.
Yeah. Look at some of the reviews on iTunes here. And one of them says, actually in the forum, it says, price, are they kidding? I think the Blu-ray is $32.99. It says, I agree. And at that price, there should be some more extras on the discs. So
it would be nice, but you know, I mean, the reality is that the price is probably going to drop at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll find them cheaper.
I don't know what it is on iTunes, but
I forget. I think it was around that price, $30, something like that.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Hey, you know, for good content, I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode. So.
Yeah, I think it is.
We, as always, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on any of the stuff that we've talked about in this episode, especially my fellow Misties out there. I'd love to know what you guys think about this coming back and the new hosts too. I mean, there's a whole, you know, Pepsi versus Coke war going on between, you know, Team Joel and Team Mike. And now we're going to have a whole new host out there. I'm curious as to what people think about this. It's kind of an internal controversy within the fandom, and it has been for decades now. And now this, I'm wondering how this is going to affect people's opinions, but let us know about that or anything else in the show. Email us at outerrim@randomchatter.com.
And of course you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. Outer Rim Podcast is the Twitter handle for the show. My Twitter handle is Lou Secchi. That's LouSecki. And Eric, what's yours?
Mine is Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And you can also follow the network itself. It's just at Random Chatter. And you can find all of the shows on the network at randomchatter.com. We've got the main Random Chatter show. We've got Echo Base, which is our primary Star Wars show, as well as the Sabacc table which is our Star Wars gaming show. We also have Green Justice for Arrow, Scarlet Velocity for Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files for...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay, yeah. We've got the Retro Convo.
That's right.
Yeah, they just released a new episode. I think it was earlier today, in fact.
Cool, cool.
Yep. So lots of good stuff going on there, so don't miss the website, randomchatter.com.
And of course, if you like the show, I'd love it if you told your friends about us. Best way of getting the word out is, you know, word of mouth, obviously. So do that if you can. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. That does help keep us up on the rankings and get more people to hear about us. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to listen to our shows live. We do live recordings on Tuesdays and Thursday nights starting at about 9 o'clock, maybe a little after. And we usually try to do a couple shows a night.
Yep. And of course, those are Eastern time.
Yes.
Because all the cool people are on the East Coast. That's what the East Coasters say to all the West Coast people who get to go to all the conventions that we don't get.
You just lost half of our audience.
No, because the West Coast people know better. They know we're just desperate and we're just flailing around trying to make ourselves sound self-important. They know better. All right. Quick shout out to our Patreon donors. Joel, Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex, Jeff, Joe, Joshua, Blake, whose name doesn't begin with J. We got a lot of J's in there, but that's okay. You know, we really appreciate the support, especially after having moved over from the Forcecast Network to Random Chatter. You know, we've been trying to make sure we've got a stable network here, and I think we've been pretty successful. You know, shows have been getting out on time, perks have been getting delivered to the Patreon donors. Things have been going really well, and you know, the podcasting is fun again, which is really awesome.
That's a huge plus.
Yeah. Oh, and a quick shout out, by the way. Ed is still doing IndieCast over at ForceCast, and Jay and Chris Wyman are still doing Jedi Journals. They just came out with a new episode this week as well. And again, still over at ForceCast. So, you know, if you were listening to those before, keep listening. And if you haven't, check them out. I mean, this is a great time for Star Wars literature. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. Poe Dameron comic just came out this week.
That's right.
Which is awesome. So, I just started. We'll touch on that in Random Chatter. But just a quick shout out to them. Don't forget to continue listening to them or to check them out if you haven't in the past already. But back to Patreon. If you'd like more information, go to patreon.com/randomchatter. What you do there helps us out. We're looking to get a new smartphone app designed for both iOS and smartphones, Android smartphones, as well as for tablets. That's going to, there's going to be a monthly charge involved in that. We've got hosting fees and stuff like that too. And then eventually we're going to start going to conventions and providing coverage there too. We've got New York Comic Con coming up later this year. So Patreon is a way that we can give something back to the people that help donate for us. So, we really appreciate that. And one of our favorite perks, we just added, another Patreon donor today, another one of our Jareds, to the Slack channel, kind of an online messaging system where, you know, we sit and chat about stuff like, the Rogue One trailer that was released earlier today.
Yes.
A lot of conversations going on there. It's a great place to be. So if you'd like to join that, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter and, It's like a party going on all the time in Slack.
Nice.
Maybe I'm overselling it a little bit. I mean, there's no cake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I usually bring my own cake.
Ah.
10. You know, party for me. Yeah.
All right. Well, push the button, Frank.
That's about it for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
The Force will be with you. Always.